Well, as I said, we're in Ephesians 6, and folks, I know we've been in Mark for the last couple weeks, and about 2 months ago, you may or may not recall, if you've been here on Wednesday nights, I've been mentioning how I had a strong sense that the spiritual battles were increasing, and I mentioned that based on the volume of calls I get in a week, that, hey, there's disunity in my family, me and the neighbors have troubles, me and my coworkers. We know that's of the devil. The Lord wants us to have unity. John chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer, although we say our Father which art in heaven, that's not actually the Lord's Prayer. That's the Lord's example of a prayer. Jesus' prayer for his church was in John 17. He said, Father, I pray they are one as you and I are one. He prayed for our unity. Some people are harder to get along with than other people. I think we'd all agree with that. Pete, I don't know why you're staring at me so intently. He's pointing at me. But anyway, but folks, those are the people you have to have extra grace. Because do you think some of us in this room even, that the Lord says, you know what, that one needs extra grace? I was in a prison unit the other evening, I think Thursday night, and I was talking to a gentleman, and he said, well, you know, he was asking me about how I grew up, and I said, well, you know, really, I was probably 12 or 13. Everyone I knew was a believer until I was probably about 12 or 13. All my grandparents, all my cousins, all my uncles and aunts. I went to a church called Bible Baptist Church. We had about 1,000 people. It was up in Chicago area, South Chicago. It was a mega church in the 70s. They had a school K through 12, 600 kids in school, 200-300 kids at Awana's on Tuesday night. And my whole world, we had chapel on Thursday morning in school. And I told this guy, I said, he said, well, I didn't grow up like that. You had all those benefits. And I asked him, I said, if you were to send something through the mail, like shoes from Australia, Les had a story today about shoes in the post office. But I said, if you were going to send something through the mail that was fragile and delicate, would you give it more wrapping or less wrapping? I said, maybe you walked through a different road because God said, I needed that wrapping. You know, I was going from the perspective, maybe I'm weaker than you. Maybe God put me in the life. He was like, you have it better than me. I said, maybe I will agree I did, but it could have been because I'm more fragile than you. I was trying to encourage him. He's like, I can't have your life because I didn't grow up like you. I said, well, maybe God thinks you're a stronger warrior than I am. You know, but anyway, so we visited on that the other night. And folks, I've been just talking to people saying about the disunity in the church, disunity among brothers and sisters, both in the flesh and in the spirit. People that won't talk to one another, people that are maybe not even angry, but apathetic. Folks, we are not called to fervent apathy. We're not. The Bible does not say, have a fervent apathy one for another. It says, have a fervent love one for another. And that means sometimes dealing with people that are hard to get along with. And if they're believers in Christ, that means I need to grow up, I need to be mature, I need to be the olive peacemaker, even though I shouldn't be, and everything by our flesh says I don't need to be. If you're an obedient follower of Jesus Christ, you will be. He gives you that free will. So I'm moving to Ephesians today, talking about warriors, and the reason I've done that, as I've kind of alluded to a little bit, is, folks, we're living in times that are increasingly violent. And 2 months ago when I started thinking about this, and on Wednesday night prayer meeting, just kind of talking about it, I just feel an increase in the spiritual oppression. This week we've seen with and we're not getting into the politics of it. I think we all have very strong feelings one way or another. I think what most of us feel about these meetings that went across our nation over the weekend. We see with Israel and Iran, that kind of flare up. And I've been seeing this coming for a while. And folks, I want to remind us that although we walk in the flesh, our weapons are not of the flesh. Our weapons are spiritual. They're spiritual for the pulling down. They're mighty weapons through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And if you're saying, I'm not following you, Pastor, I'm not tracking, strongholds are not fortifications and physical buildings. Strongholds are negative thoughts we have in our minds, improper thoughts, behavior, patterns of behaviors that hinder or thwart the will of God, God's will in our lives. Those are strongholds. And I'll tell you, If you let Satan get a toehold, he'll turn that toehold into a foothold, and before you know it, that foothold is a stronghold. My encouragement to you would be, don't let footholds or toeholds become part of your life. I mentioned a few weeks ago, I think, or maybe months ago, we have a house off 242. It's the first house Kelly and I bought. We still have that house off of 242 over here when we first got married. And there was a, I have a vegetable garden, and there was a little weed growing up in the front corner. One day I got home and I went out and I looked and I thought, I don't remember that weed being there yesterday. And I thought, well, maybe I missed it. I said, I'm going to leave it there and see what happens tomorrow. And the next day I went and it had grown noticeably. The next day, by the end of summer, it looked like a sequoia tree, not the height, but it had that shape to it, a Christmas tree. And it was about 15 feet in the air. It was some kind of Chinese bamboo. I went out with a axe and I hit it and it kind of bounced off because it was bouncy. It wasn't hollow enough to take an axe. So I had to sawzall it off, dig a hole, pull the root system, and it was as big as this about half as big as this platform, the hole. If I go to that house today, although I pulled it out, I got rid of that root, to this day, if I drive over and look in the area, I can see where the ground has a scar in it. No one else might notice it, but I do. You know how much easier it would have been the day that weed grew up if I'd have went out there and pulled it out? Folks, I tell you that because some of us in here let a weed grow, and we watched it, and it grew, until we didn't really control it. It started controlling us. And this is the kind of warfare we're in. The power of Jesus, the name Jesus that we said, it has the power to rip down that stronghold. Some of you in here today may have a testimony. I was saved. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see by the name of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Christ. But I still carry scars. I'm cured, but I have scars. This Ephesians 6 today, I encourage you to really dial in and focus on, and I'm sure we've all heard this passage. It's the full armor of God. John Boucher is back here in the back. I saw Pete has a pin on his lapel, and I said, Pete, you've got the same pin I have. John Boucher has a year or so ago, had these pins, full armor of God pins, and he had said it's important that we pass these. We've given out these to Greg Abbott and to various politicians and to brothers in Christ and different places, give these pins out for the sake of that we have got to have on the full armor of God. We can't go through our lives just saying, well, I just wake up in the morning, I go about my business, I go to sleep at night, I wake up. We're in a battle. There's that story of the boxer that was in a boxing ring and he was getting beat up real bad and he went to his corner and his manager said, oh, don't worry, he's not touching you, he's not hitting you, he's not landing a glove on you. The guy's bleedy and bloody and black eye and his eyes are closed. And he said, well, if he's not hitting me, keep an eye on the referee because someone there is just beating me to smithereens. And folks, we chuckle at that, but folks, sometimes we wake up thinking, that person is beating me up. My coworker is beating me up. My boss, my family member. That's not your enemy. That is not your enemy. Your enemy is the devil. He's the one beating you up. And you've got to have, and we've got to have discernment to understand, we do not battle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with powers, with principalities. That is our battle. So don't think I'm going to go out there and... It's Father's Day. Don't anyone punch your fathers today. But anyway, we don't go punch our neighbor. We don't get mad at people. We say, how do I get Satan out of this division? Satan is in there causing chaos with me and this other person. How do I get Satan out of that chaos? Because I know the will of Jesus is that me and this brother in Christ are at peace. And if there's not peace, it means Satan's in the middle. Satan's the enemy, not that other person. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, 10. It says, finally. So he goes through the whole book of Ephesians. He gets to finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's so easy to sing these songs. Jesus, we see his name in the bones wake, and we say his name and the hell's gate shake, and we say his name and the tombs are empty. We sing those songs. Do we believe them? Do we truly believe the name of Jesus has power to change things? We will all say with our mouths yes, but then we leave, I'm afraid about this, I'm afraid about that, I'm so worried, I'm scared, I don't know what to think of. Life's so hard, I don't know if I can get through. Guess what speaks louder than our words? Our actions. And there's a world out there looking at the church. If you've got the answer, what is it? We cannot walk out of this building and go and tell the world, we're scared to death, we're terrified, we're so upset, we're nervous, we're afraid, we're agoraphobic, we're afraid of everything. We have to say, yes, there are storms, but Jesus is in my boat with me. Yes, there are problems. We are diseases. There are financial hardships. There are all these things that the world has problems with, but Jesus is the answer to every one of those problems. So Paul here in this, he writes this. This is not, when I say from Paul, it's not from Paul. It's from the Holy Spirit that Paul wrote. But God wants us to know, finally, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Don't be strong in your own power. Be strong in his power. And be strong in his power. I can't help but think of Joshua chapter 1. Many of you know that verse. I think Joshua chapter 1, 6. And I'm not normally topical. We're a little bit topical today. I don't normally do that. But in Joshua, you remember Moses, when God told Israel to go in the promised land the first time, what was their response? We're not going to. Why didn't they obey? They're too big and we're afraid. Some of you here today have giants and problems you're fighting with and the devil, and you're looking at the problem saying, the problem's too big, I can't fight it. Brother, sister, yes, you can. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You can overcome that problem with Christ in the boat with you. If you're powerful in your own strength, well, let's see, how am I going to fix this problem? Apart from him, you can do nothing. Apart from him, you cannot do anything. You must pull him into the solution, him being Jesus Christ. But in Joshua 1:6, as Moses, for that 40 years, they went through the wilderness, none of them enjoyed the promises of the Lord. They got food, they got water, they got clothing, they had shoes, they had all the things they needed physically. They did not get the full promise of God, the full blessing of God of the land, and all the blessings that went with that, because they walked in fear and not in faith. We have to be a people that walk in faith. I know you say, well, that was 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Doesn't matter. It's the same God. It's the same God, and it's the same demons. They haven't changed. It's the same battle. It's the same war. And we've got to wake up, church, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Joshua 1:6, be not afraid. Be courageous. Do not fear. Joshua 1:7, be very courageous and do not fear. They had the word very in that. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? You see, three times in about four verses, be strong and be very courageous. You're about to go into a battle, and you better rely on the Lord Jesus Christ as the leader of our army. Finally, so back to Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on, that putting on, that's really a better translation, might be putting on. As you are putting on, it's an ongoing activity. It's called an aorist in Greek. It doesn't matter really what that means critically. What it means is an ongoing activity. You can't just say, well, there's been times in your own Christian life you've probably said, I remember back here I was really strong in the Lord. And then I kind of went down. And then I got strong and then I went down again. You can probably look back in time and look at ebbs and flows of your Christian walk. And I will tell you what happens when you take off the armor, the enemy has a field day with you. When you say, I'm going to do this Christian walk by myself, I'm just going to do it from home, I don't need to go to church, I don't need corporate worship, I don't need brothers and sisters. Think of being on a battlefield. Think of being on a battlefield today in an actual physical war, and your platoon comes over and says, we're here to help you, I don't need you, I'm just going to walk over here by myself towards the enemy's camp. I think I'll be safe, I think I'll be okay. Folks, no, you're not. Here's what Jesus told Peter. Peter, Satan has asked me if he can sift you like wheat. He wants to beat you, throw you up in the air, turn your world upside down, cause chaos in your life. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Church, you're going to be in a battle. When Christine and Cam were up here a moment ago and talking about some of the kids, and you know, some of you know that Kelly and I and Kat and Rachel know we've had about 100 kids in our home in the last 30 years. And as they were just saying, they heard stories. Man, there's stories I've heard from 12-year-olds that I said, how are you still alive? How are you still physically alive going through that? I don't see how this young generation coming up behind us copes. I've seen statistics from a psychiatrist that says today's high school kid has the psychological pressures of a World War II PTSD veteran of war. The stuff they see, the things they're exposed to, their minds not yet formed are trying to make a picture and a reality of what am I hearing. My teacher at school gave me this book about Timmy's Got Two Daddies. What does that mean? How do I make sense of this world we're living in? You know, this, all these stories, this endless stories that they're seeing, and they're seeing the world as blank slate saying, I don't see how these puzzle pieces fit together, and it's chaos. And the devil will have a field day in their minds when their minds cannot understand reality. There's things I say regularly. I've said this before. Guys, church members, if you've been here, you should know this. How many kingdoms are there? Two. You're either in the kingdom of darkness or you're in the kingdom of light. There's no kingdom of gray. There's no kingdom of the middle. There's two kingdoms and two kingdoms only. And so when you hear things on the news and you see one set of people saying the answer is to burn cars and buildings and rob and loot, and you see another group that says, no, the answer is to have law and order, you're seeing two kingdoms clashing. You're seeing lawlessness and the rule of law. You are seeing kingdoms clash. It's not Western civilization and Eastern civilization and this religion or that religion. It is two kingdoms at war. And if you've been watching the news these last few weeks, you might notice it has turned hot. The war has turned a hot war. And I think that generation that I just mentioned, that 22, 25 and under generation, the Lord is raising up those people for his kingdom, and Satan's mad. And he's fighting back with all that he has. And he's going desperately after them. I'll hear stories that I'm 60 years old. I'll be 61 next month. I hear a story from kids that I'll say are in the prisons, a 22-year-old kid, 25-year-old man. And I'll say, I don't even know how to address that. I've never heard that. I've never come across that. I'm 60. I understand how it could be a problem. I don't understand how the problem got to the level it is. The devil. And Satan's, if you're older and walked with the Lord for a lot of years, you're still under attack. But the devil may kind of like, I've got limited demons. I've got limited fallen angels to work with. I'm not going to waste them on people that are settled and walking with the Lord. I'm going to attack that younger generation. And folks, I see it as clear as, I see it completely clearly. I see stuff on the news. I hear stuff. My mind instantly goes to, that's a spiritual battle. Our schools with the libraries in them, spiritual battle. The teachers with the rainbow flags, taking down the U.S. flag, burning the U.S. flag, spiritual battle. I see it just as plainly as it is. It's a spiritual battle. So we're commanded. I want to mention this also, this be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on that putting on. I said a second ago was aorist. It means it's an ongoing activity. Every day when you wake up, I would advise you, Lord, give me strength today. Walk with me today. Father, better yet, let me walk with you. He leads us in paths of righteousness. How does he know the paths of righteousness? Because he's the righteous one. If I walk in his path, I'll be walking in righteousness because he walks in righteousness. Lord, help me walk in your path today. Give me discernment. Give me wisdom. Help me not stray to the left or to the right. Help me not to go in or out. Help me be right with you along the way. And I would say start encouraging yourself. Pray for yourself. I pray for you guys, all four of you. I pray for my siblings, their spouses, and then their kids as well. I don't know theologically. I pray, Lord, and tell Dad I said hi. You know, my dad's up in heaven now. I don't know if theologically that works that way or not, but I think it might. If someone's got some ideas, you can tell me later. But I talked, Lord, tell my dad I said this. Tell him I said thanks. Tell him have a good day. And he is. He's in heaven. So. And I pray for them, but I said, I pray for people by name. I pray for our church. Some of you, I pray by name. I try to about every morning. Kelly says, I'm sleeping. I said, no, I'm praying for that hour. Well, your eyes are closed because I pray with my eyes closed. Well, you're snoring. I snore with my, when I'm praying. But this putting on, it's put on, and that's a command. It's a command aorist, imperative. It's an imperative aorist. Means you keep putting on the full armor of God. That would be a good translation. You keep putting on the armor of God. Period. Command. Imperative. You put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. I said a moment ago, the devil has schemes. He has a plan for you. The older I get, the more I believe. I am on it. And it's still, and I'm pressing buttons. There's a lag in this button or something. We'll get it one of these days. Oh, yeah, kids are a blessing from the Lord. Y'all remember that picture? Yeah, well, I don't know if you can't see it, sorry. One of the pictures, they look normal, and then one, they're just sitting quietly smiling. One, they're making a crazy picture. That's the normal one, though, but anyway. So stand firm in our faith, be strong in the Lord. I love this verse in Matthew, right before the Great Commission. Jesus, before he commissions his disciples, meaning us too, he says, all authority has been given to me and in heaven and on earth. How much authority does Jesus have? All. What's that first word? What does that word mean? It means all. All authority. Whose banner do we fly under? Jesus Christ. And how much authority does he have? All authority. All authority in heaven, all authority on earth has been given to him. And he commissions the church in that next verse, as you are going in the world, make disciples, teaching them to observe, obey all things I've commanded you, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you until the end of the ages. He's with us forever. He's commanded us. A few weeks ago, a brother in Christ of ours, Jason Nelson, I was at an event. I think this may be originally his, I don't know. And he said, you know, when you see these executive orders signed by Donald Trump, I talked to Jason yesterday, he said I could say this, but he said, when you see those executive orders signed by Donald Trump, he gets that marker out, he signs his name, they hold the thing up and they show it around everyone and how exciting it is. Folks, let me show you something more exciting. Who signed this? I'll tell you who signed it. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the ending. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am the door. I am the true water. I am the bread of life. I am Emmanuel. I am God with you. King of kings, Lord of lords, Jesus Christ, the only begotten, the perfect iconic figure of God. In him rested the full Godhead. I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer. I am the creator of all things. I'm the possessor of heaven. And all authority has been given me, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's who signed this executive order. And he commissioned us with it. And there's an enemy called the devil, the accuser of the brothers daily. We have a real enemy. He has schemes. So, brothers and sisters, you put on every day the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand. Probably everyone here has a story of a Christian brother or sister they saw fall. They were on fire for the Lord. They were excited. They were burning to share the gospel. They just drifted away, and I don't even know where they are today. They're not standing anymore. Stand against, so you'll be able to stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. These you could imagine if there's a battle going on against the rulers. These are their four-star generals. Satan has some generals. So that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Our fight is with rulers, against authorities, some of those generals, colonels, against powers of this dark world, some of the lieutenants, against the spiritual forces, the rank and file demons that are out there tempting us daily, twisting us up, trying to get us to fall. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Now, we saw back in chapter 10, we're commanded to put on the full armor of God. We get over to verse 13, the same command. Put on the full armor of God. When God gives us two commands in about three verses, do you think he's serious? Who'd this come from? I like to clarify. If you ever say Paul said, that's fine. If you say Paul, what Paul wants us to know is, Paul's a sinner like we are. Sinner saved by grace. God is telling us this. Paul may have written it out, but this is inspired by God. God tells us, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand. Verse 13, so put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, probably everyone here could raise their hand. Have you ever had a day of evil? Show up at your doorstep. When that day comes, you may be able to stand. Put on the armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the armor of God so when evil comes, you can stand. You can stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand and you're at wit's end and you're about to fall over and cave in and give up, The scripture tells us, having done everything to stand, stand. Who is going to stand in the gap for this next generation? Who's going to stand in the gap for those little ones that just walked out of here? I'm going to ask you right now, if you're willing to stand up spiritually, stand up physically right now, I want you to say today, Lord God, I am going to stand in the gap for this next generation that you are raising up. Lord God, I'm going to stand in the spiritual gap for these little ones that walked out of here and back there learning God's principles and his biblical principles right now. Lord God, if I'm weak, I'm shallow, I haven't been doing this, but as of today, June 14th, 2025, I'm going to start putting on the full armor of God daily. I'm going to take this battle seriously. You may be seated. Thank you. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing us this. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, keep standing. Verse 14, stand firm. Folks, this is as dynamic a passage as I've read. Put on the armor of God so that you can stand. Put on the armor of God so that you can stand. Put on the armor of God so that you can stand. After you've done everything to stand, stand. Therefore, stand firm. Does God want his people to stand up in this battle? Clearly, he wants to stand up, and he equips us properly. Do you believe the verse in Philippians that says, God will supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus? Paul wrote that, the Holy Spirit wrote that through Paul to the Philippian church. The Philippian church was a dynamic, gospel-winning, soul-winning church. God won't supply all your needs according to all your wants. He doesn't say God will supply all your wants, all your needs. So if God supplies all our needs, and then he's going to give us a list of armor, do you think he's giving us that because we need it? If you work that through deductively, he gives me things I need, and here's things he's about to give me. Stand firm and put on the belt of truth, buckled around your waist. We're told in Ephesians 4:15, just a passage or two back, speak the truth in love. The belt of truth symbolizes the integrity and foundation of God's word in our lives. Truth empowers believers to stand firm against deception. Folks, is there a devil out there throwing deception and chaos, changing the meaning of words? I was in Austin this weekend. I was telling Kelly on the way down here, we're pushing a resolution that Greg Abbott will declare June Traditional Family Month. And we got it passed at the level I was at. It's going to go to Abbott's desk. We don't know if he's going to do it or not. But we said, we're encouraging you to make June Traditional Family Month. And there were people arguing, well, let's get rid of the word traditional. Let's get rid of the word family. So we're going to have month. June is a month. Well, yeah, that's more inclusive. And I said, look, we do not throw rocks. Is our battle with flesh and blood? We do not throw rocks at any group. We love them. We don't care what they are. If you're watching at home, if you're in prostitution, if you're a drug addict, if you're an alcoholic, we love you, and you're invited to come worship with us. These doors will always be open for anyone, regardless of who they are, what their background is, whatever they do, praise God right now, because once you were just like them. We walked in the same paths they walked in. But by God's grace, he called us out and called us into the kingdom of his light. We love them. We love everybody. And that doesn't mean we're throwing rocks at them. It just says we believe that a strong society is based on a strong traditional nuclear family. God's perfect design, one man, one woman for life. That's God's design. The farther we get away from that as a culture, the worse things are going to get. And I think it's time that we stand up and say we celebrate traditional families. And if whatever that family might look like that God has placed you in, we celebrate that family with you. I was shocked there were people saying, we don't like those words. Well, those words have meaning. Male, female has meaning. That's the way it is. And we see Satan causing this chaos. And I've seen some Christians, people that profess Christ, say, well, I think there's 30 or some genders. Based on what? Truth. Do you know what it tells me? If they're a true believer, and they could be, they don't have on the belt of truth. Because they are not able to discern truth from deception. They have been deceived. Some of us in here today might say, I was a Christian back here, and early on in my Christian life, there were some things that I was deceived about. I thought it was still okay to do these activities, and I still did those activities as a Christian. But as the Lord worked on me, as he polished me up, as he changed me, as he conformed me to the image of his son, he changed the way my mind works. He changed the way I think. He changed me from the kingdom of darkness, as I said a moment ago, strongholds, improper thoughts, improper thinking. Not necessarily evil thinking, but just, well, these are behaviors I have, and it's okay, right? God will start curing you of those. So it says, put on the belt of truth so you can stand against the deception of the devil, and the devil will deceive you. Boy, he is a liar, isn't he? Satan is a liar. He's always been a liar. It says, then put on the breastplate of righteousness, represents the righteousness of Christ. Philippians tells us, Paul wrote there, being found in Christ, not having a righteousness of our own, we can never boast in, look how good I am, look how bad they are. If there's any good thing in you, it's because Jesus Christ put it there. You once were in the kingdom of darkness, and he showed up and made things better. He says, so being found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. Our righteousness is because we have faith in Christ. That's the only reason we're righteous. He declared us righteous. We would never pride in, oh, look how good I am. I call that the demon of the Pharisee. Look how good I am, look how bad they are. By God's grace, he showed me some things. I need to share those things with them. He's commissioned us, as I said earlier, to teach all people whatsoever I've commanded. Our goal is not to throw rocks at them. Our goal is to send the truth to them. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. Hey, I once thought that way also. But by biblical wisdom, by God revealing this to me, by the Holy Spirit telling me what I thought once was good, I understand you thinking that. I used to think that. But God changed the way I think, and here's what I think today. And share those truths with them. I'm telling you, folks, our world's desperate for truth. Desperate. They're looking, and I know that because look at the rate of improper relationships. Look at the rate of alcoholism, drug abuse. All that increases are because they're looking for something. They're looking for something. They just don't know that it's Jesus. Shoes with the gospel of peace equips believers to stand firm and move forward with confidence in the message of reconciliation and peace through Jesus Christ. Folks, Satan beat the devil 2,000 years ago at Calvary. He's a defeated foe, and he knows it. And we have to have that confidence. We have the truth, not the devil. We've got to be prepared to give an answer when things come up and things are exposed to us and someone says, well, what about this? You need to work on that. And folks, there's nothing wrong with telling someone, you know what, I don't have a good answer for that, but I'll get that answer back to you because I believe that every question the mind of man has, the Bible has explained. Any question they may have, somewhere in the Bible we can find the truth. Or if it's not important, it won't be explained because it's not important. And the person probably won't ask the question. I love that. What about dinosaurs? A Wednesday night, we watched a movie. I was telling Anthony about it. We're going to watch it again this week. It's called Genesis, Truths of Genesis or Truths of Creation or something. It's about an hour and a half. We watched about 40 minutes. We're going to watch the second part this Wednesday. But it goes through some paleontology, scientific, biology, geology stuff, and just explaining what the world's saying is just not true. And here's the scientific. We believe it based on faith. Talk about Noah's Ark. We believe it based on faith. But it's also nice to have that. And here's evidence of it. Here's scientific evidence. So have shoes equipped with the gospel of peace. In addition to these things, take up the shield of faith. Folks, you better get your shield of faith ready. There's not a day or two goes by. I was telling someone just the other day, John again, we were talking. I said, there's someone just saying this. And I don't even know who you are. You know who I am. No, I don't. Just shooting arrows. You know, we hate you. You're terrible. I saw it in my timeline the other day. It showed up. I posted about a year ago. It said there was a witch that was casting spells on me. And she was on her Facebook saying, I hate you. I hate your God. My God's stronger than your God. I'm putting spells on you. And I was thinking about that. That was a year ago, just in the last week or two. It showed up on my timeline a year ago. And I was thinking, no, your God's not stronger than my God. I know who my God is, and my God has all power. My God is Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings. One day, your God's going to kneel down at his feet and declare him Lord of Lords. Your God is not stronger than my God. No, I don't get ugly with her. I said, I'm going to pray for you. I'll be praying for you, and I pray that one day your eyes are open to the truth. She's not my enemy. And folks, the shield of faith, though, but if your faith, if you're not, I hear people, I would do this, but someone said this and it hurt my feelings and blah, blah, blah. Folks, that's the devil. He wants to shut you up. He wants to close your mouth. He does not want you speaking truth, especially to someone he has deceived. Hey, I've got this person deceived. They're in my kingdom. They think this is good. I've got their minds all warped and messed up, and they believe everything I'm telling them. And then this person comes along, this Christian comes along and starts speaking truth to them. He'll attack you. He'll start shooting arrows at you. And if your shield of faith is, I know who I am, and I know whose I am. I'm a child of the King. And I've got my shield of faith. And devil, you can say whatever you want. You can shoot whatever dart you want. It hits the shield of faith and it's just quenched and it doesn't even bother me. It never touches me because I know who I am. Now, if your shield of faith is not up and you say, well, people say stuff and I get hurt and I get upset and I get worried. Folks, you got to stop that. You got to stop that and just say, do you know what? I know who the enemy is and I know what they're doing and I'm not going to quit talking to that person. I'm not going to quit praying for that person. I'm not going to quit loving that person. That's the devil shooting that arrow at me. We got to have our shield of faith in Christ as our great defense against the fiery darts of the enemy. It extinguishes the lies, the doubts, and temptations aimed at believers to make, his goal is to make us ineffective. Okay, you're a believer, I can't mess up your eternal soul, but I can make you an ineffective Christian for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I get you afraid, you wake up, I don't want to say anything. Last time I said something, I got an arrow shot at me, I don't want that again. Folks, you've got to put on the armor of God, and that means taking up that shield of faith and know whose you are and whose kingdom you're walking in. I love that passage in 1 Samuel 17. You might remember when David goes to Goliath and he goes out on the field. And some of you probably know that story, but the short answer is Goliath yells at David, you're a dog, how dare you come out? He said he had disdain for David. You know what? Satan has disdain for you. Satan, if you're a Christian, Satan hates you. He absolutely hates you. And David tells Goliath, you come at me with a shield, a javelin, and a spear, and a sword. And you would think, if you didn't know the story, that David would say, but I come at you with a slingshot and 5 stones. But that's not what David says. He says, you come at me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord and in his might. Who won that battle? No one would have picked David prior to that battle. Nobody. 9-foot Goliath, 5'2", 115 pound, you know, David, shepherd boy. No armor. The king said, David, put on my armor. And David put on the king's armor. And David said, this doesn't fit me. It ain't going to work. Folks, that's also a little bit of wisdom in there. Don't put on armor that's not the Lord's armor. Go out and battle in the Lord's armor. Not, well, I've got a degree. I read a book. So I had someone a few weeks ago say, hey, I need a good book explaining who God is. I got the perfect book. It's called the Bible. Yeah, they're like, no, but I mean a different book. What would you need a different book for? There may be other books out there you can read, but you want the perfect book. The perfect book's the Bible. That's the perfect book to read about who God is. So it says, put on the shield of faith, and then I'm so glad that we do have the helmet of salvation. Boy, who's glad for the helmet of salvation? Helmet of salvation protects the mind. Folks, Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is where the battle is. If Satan gets you to think wrong, he gets you to act wrong. If he gets you to act wrong, he can keep you from salvation, or he can keep you from being an effective Christian. If he can mess up your mind and your brain and you don't know the truths of the Bible, yes, you may go to heaven. You've got the helmet. But folks, you know how dangerous it is to be on battlefield? I saw this weekend, I was watching some news, and I saw some of the guard, I saw the Marines roll in. They said they wanted, well, I won't. someone said, not me. They said, we need 100,000 Army or we need 700 Marines. So Trump sent them 700 Marines. Whoops-a-daisy. A friend of mine's Army, we were joking about that, but... But when you saw the Marines roll in, they had the armored personnel carriers, the APCs, they had their gear, they had their helmets, their gear, their communications, they had weapons. Folks, they don't go into battle just with a helmet. As Christians, we cannot go into the battle with the devil with just the helmet. Yes, you may have the helmet, praise God. I'm happy for the helmet. You got to have more than the helmet. You're on a battlefield, you got your helmet on, lift it up, say, oh, I know who you are, you're so, well, ooh, I got my helmet on again. Satan's going to beat you up, beat you down. Put on the full, notice the word, put on the full armor of God. I think a bunch of Christians in our world run around with their helmet on and nothing else. They have no shield. They have no breastplate of righteousness. They have no belt of truth. They don't have their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They're running around with their helmet saying, this is good enough. I'm safe. And no offense. They've got to have these, the full armor. So we got the helmet. Praise God. I'm so grateful for the helmet. But I want some other stuff too. And not just defensive stuff. We want some offensive stuff. And it says the sword of the Spirit. Every time Satan attacked Jesus, Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Every time Jesus took out the Bible. Devil, here's your lie. Here is the truth of God. Here's a lie. Here's the truth. Here's a lie. Here's the truth. That requires that we know our Bible. Before they go onto the battlefield, the military, the physical military, they train, they practice, they get used to that weapon. I'm sure many of you have heard, you never go into battle with an untested weapon. You check it first. You have to know that weapon. You've got to know how to use it. You'd be much more effective on a battlefield knowing how to use a weapon than going out there with no weapon or with going, you ever heard of friendly fire? Yeah, I have a weapon, but I don't know how to use it right, and I shot my own troops. Do Christians ever do that? Do we ever pick up a bag of rocks and throw them at one another? Friendly, unfriendly fire. We do it because we don't know the word. So pick up the sword of the Spirit and chase the devil down. And you might say, well, I'm going to heaven. I'm good. Folks, do you see those littles that just walked out of here? Where are they going to be in 5, 10 years? Where are they going to be in 50? Where are they going to be in 100? They're going to be in one of two places. In 100 years, every one of them are more than likely going to be in one of two places. Are you going to stand in the gap and say, while they're entrusted to our care, we are going to make disciples? We're going to make warriors. We're not just going to go along to get along. We're not going to be milquetoast. And folks, I will tell you that the devil puts wolves in sheep's clothing. We have a God that puts lions in lambs. And church, it's time we start waking up and we start becoming lions. If you might say, well, I'm going to heaven, I'm good. Look at those little ones that just walked out of here. Look at, fathom some of the stories that you think some of the leaders this week might have heard from kids, what they're going through. We've had kids in our home that said, we've got a young lady was here last week. We talked to her this week. And she said, I cannot believe the state took us out of y'all's home. Where we came from, there was four of them. We dreaded going home. We dreaded going home. We hated it. I mentioned this one night, Kat and Rachel, you remember Kaylee and Kylie, and I'll say their name. I don't mean this out of hardship, but their mom was in our front yard having a fist fight with her two daughters, yanking their hair, pulling their hair. I believe Kaylee and Kylie, to the day they die, will remember this word from their mom. I should have aborted you both. Could you imagine a mom saying that to her own children? That still haunts me that a mom would say that to her 14, 15-year-old teenage daughters. They were twins. And I thought, those kids will carry that the rest of their life. That's just a snippet of what some of the kids are going through in our culture today. It's completely different than we were growing up. And folks, we've got to be a people that picks up the sword and says, Satan, not here, not in our community, not in our church, not in our church family. We will fight you to protect this next generation coming up. We will fight you for those littles that walked out of here. We will go to full, hot, global, thermal, nuclear war in the name of Jesus to protect these kids. That's the people we need to be. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this message you've given us today. Father, it's both encouraging and challenging at the same time. Father, you've revealed what you've given to us and equipped us with to go to battle. And Father, it's getting close to the time that the church in America rises up and goes to battle. Father, we thank you for some of the victories that some of us have had and we've seen. Father, we thank you. We just infinite forever praise you for the helmet of salvation and what the cost was to give us salvation. Father, we do sincerely from our hearts pray for this next generation coming up and those little ones that just walked out the door. Father, we ask that your angels would just watch over them and your hand of protection would be upon them. And the schemes of the devil that he would cause to make them stumble and fall and harm them and mess up their minds, Father, you would guard their minds. Father, let this church be a safe haven for anyone of any background that comes to you, Father, and seeking answers. That they would come here and seek your will and maybe join your family and accept Christ as your Savior. Father, we thank you again. We praise you. Father, we thank you on this Father's Day that you are the greatest Father we've ever had. The absolute greatest Father. And we cry out to you, Abba, Father, protect these kids. Give us wisdom. Father, I just ask you to raise up in this youth group leaders that they just start developing. Some of these kids right here today may be working with those kids 10, 15 years from today. Father, we just ask you to raise them up, call out leadership from this church and from churches around and from this youth group into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.